Hi, and welcome to Rescuing Churches. If you love pastoral life, ministry, and church revitalization, this is a great place to join the discussion about why the local church matters, how we can help the ones that are in decline, and be an encouragement to their pastors along the way. We'll even get to hear stories from special guests about what God is doing in the church at large. This show is hosted by two guys who serve the local church and is for everyone within the local church. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's go. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rescuing Churches, where it is always a great adventure discussing church revitalization and pastoral life. Learn more at 614ministries.org. My name is Josh. That's my dad, Stan.
Yep.
And silent partner Mike is here, manning the knobs at Mission Control.
Yep.
Dad, today, more than saying the word yep, you want to discuss four different types of churches and comparatively contrast them against one another. Right?
Wow, that sounds really impressive. Yes.
Okay.
Let's do that.
All right. So the first three in particular being churches that you do not want to be described as. And as your communications guy and silent partner, Mike and I were kind of discussing before the episode kicked off of here of what the title of this was actually going to be. I really wanted to call it the M&M episode.
The M&M episode.
But yeah. I don't think I'm going to do that.
M&M. Yeah.
I guess that wouldn't have worked very well.
Right. So. Well, I just alliterated them as M's in my brain.
I appreciate the alliteration a lot.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I was trained in Bible college very well to do that. But in my brain, I've been wanting to kind of step back and look at what's happening instead of up inside church, individual churches. I just kind of took a bigger picture back to say what's really happening sort of in the community I'm in and in other communities. And what you can see online of churches, and it seems to me, the disclaimer here is, I'm going to give you four. There's probably 40. You can break each one of these down into subcategories.
Sure, sure.
You can find stuff in between the four because they're kind of the extremes.
Right.
But I do think as a pastor, you're supposed to evaluate your church, and one of the ways you're going to get your church healthy is to be honest about what's going on at your church. And if you're one of these and it hurts to acknowledge it, you just need to go ahead and get past that and see it. You know, you need to look at what you have and
exactly.
and figure out how to move past it. And some of them are very painful. Mm-hmm. And some of them just need to do some work. So,
well, and anytime you have any sort of evaluation, you go to the doctor and it can be painful for a doctor to tell you what needs to be evaluated.
Exactly.
And what needs to be corrected. So exactly. We're going to be touching heavily on all of these, particularly the last one. So let's take this first one and we're going to pick them all apart kind of in the same way. The first one being the mausoleum church, which you say is a church that is full of dead people. And I mean, we're not talking like actual dead people, right? Or I mean, do we need to get Bruce Willis involved in this at some level or something like that?
Right.
I see dead people.
They need help for sure. They're spiritually dead. But like a mausoleum, they don't know they're dead. The church has been spiritually dead for a long time. It hasn't done anything healthy in the community. It hasn't done anything active in a long time. And the people are actually not just satisfied with that. There's like, that's okay. It's normal. We're not trying to be anything else. It's just what we are. And, the pastor or the people don't have the courage to acknowledge their own death.
Right.
You know, they don't ever, it's the elephant in the room, maybe, that they don't ever acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But left to themselves, they're just going to stay like that. What's really interesting is when you talk to people that are church searching now, people will tell you when they went to some church, man, it's just dead.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been to those, you know, I've visited with churches that were just flat.
Exactly.
And there's actually no spiritual life there. It's not that they weren't greeting, you know, they weren't kind or anything. You can just tell there's no spiritual life there.
Well,
there's no abundant life, no energy, no joy, no hope, no peace. And it just feels terrible.
And the word mausoleum itself actually means monument. So it's almost like everything in there is a monument to something else. So maybe our past.
That's or, dead, though.
Yeah, our glory day. Well, if it's in the past, it is dead. Yeah, it's something that used to be.
Right.
It's not here's where we are now and we're moving forward, or this is where we are going or anything. Like, you don't get a sense of any of that.
Well, what I get a sense of, unlike the next one, which would be the museum church.
Sure.
But what I get a sense of when you're looking at your church and you see that is there hasn't been life in it for a very long time.
Long time. Yeah.
It doesn't have a past to go back to be proud of. It's just, this is what we are.
It's what we are.
And we don't care.
Yeah.
It's a church that really is full of dead people. And maybe many of them think they're saved, but they're not.
Right.
So I would say to a pastor that maybe a young pastor or a new pastor that may be working with a church that you just realize, man, this is cold, hard, dead. You might actually work the gospel in a lot more. You might actually have personal one-on-one conversations. I've met a number of people in their, 40s, 50s, and 60s that believed they were saved as kids, never were discipled or trained in it, never grew in their faith at all because it wasn't a salvation moment. It was a I did what I was told moment.
Right.
And then later in their 20s, 30s, 40s, they get saved when, Truett Dodd in his 50s
exactly.
gets saved. Oh, yeah.
Incredible testimony.
As a music director at a Baptist church, he gets saved at his own revival.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I would just say to the pastors of those churches, you should evaluate really the salvation of every individual. If it's one-on-one, just meet with them one-on-one over time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in a hurry.
Right.
But really get to know their salvation story and figure out where the change took place. When somebody gets saved, there's behaviors and activities, and there's a heart change, and there's a hunger for truth and all that. So,
and obviously one of the telltale signs would be that church is not passionately engaging with the local community or
correct.
Anything like that, which is going to be a problem with several of these first couple of ones. So.
Sure.
Okay. So then going into the next church, which is the museum church, this is the church that you describe as being all about the past. And that's a little bit in the first one as well.
Correct.
And we mentioned this one in a previous podcast episode, and we can drop the link to that in the show notes.
Huge illustration for me was the USS Battleship.
Battleship.
That's another podcast. Y'all can listen to that on your own, but it's a museum. The battleship here in Mobile is a museum, USS Alabama, and it's a magnificent warcraft that mm-hmm. does nothing. It
yep.
literally sits and gets toured.
Yep.
It doesn't do what it was designed to do. Nobody's ever trained on it anymore. Nobody's ever taught anything. We don't have to encourage anybody to be part of anything. We just need somebody to turn the lights on and check the bathrooms, clean the bathrooms, and then we start over tomorrow.
Yep.
So, and a lot of churches are like that. We talked about this on the other episode. They're museums of the past. They have a lot of great history mm-hmm. where at some point the church was alive. They call it their glory years when you really look at it. May not be the glory days, but you look back at it.
Their version of the glory days.
They did have some ministry going, whether it was community
yep.
at a softball league, or they had an outreach to the homeless or to the local public schools or something. And it was kind of when the church was really thriving, something went wrong. We changed pastors or some people left or whatever, but it reset itself back to now we're not doing anything. So the church begins to focus on what we used to do.
Exactly.
And they keep looking in the past like a museum, which a museum is just all about the past.
Right.
And if a church is continually focused on the past, and you and I have been working with a couple of churches that when we talk to them, the conversation for the first three or four meetings with them is about what they used to do. And it's hard to get them to stop talking about that because you don't want to insult them. Mm-hmm. But you eventually have to say, we have to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah,
we have to have a vision going forward.
You do have to lovingly acknowledge their past in a way that lets them know that it is still
important.
It's worth honoring, and
sure.
it's still important. You don't throw it out the window. Yeah,
but exactly. you have to have a vision as well, and you have to have people that are passionate about that vision, not just about their past.
Sure.
And a museum, what I'm calling a museum church, is people that are stuck in that past.
Yeah.
They're passionate about the museum moment, and they don't really care about being anything in the future. Well, when a pastor comes into that setting, he now has to become a vision caster. And that, again, I think it goes back to a lot of one-on-one, sharing your heart with individuals, especially leadership individuals, people in the church that have influence. People that when you talk to one, they're going to inspire three or four others around them to go, hey, this guy's really got a great idea. Let's all help him. Mm-hmm. So, but the pastor's got to spend quite a bit of time helping the church have vision for the future and have a hope. And that would come from a lot of his personal time as a pastor. He needs to spend a lot of time in prayer, a lot of solo time on his knees.
Oh yeah.
I recommend doing that in their own, in the sanctuary when nobody else is there.
Exactly.
And asking the Lord, what are we doing? You know, this is your church, not mine. Mm-hmm. You're the head. We're just body parts. So you lead and we'll follow, but you get a clear vision from the Lord as to how the church can apply Great Commission, Great Commandment. And then you say, this is what we're doing.
Right.
And you get after it. And it could be something really simple. All the stuff we talk about in the past, laundry love.
Yeah, that's a great ministry. That's something that we encourage.
Yeah, reaching out to the elementary schools, figuring out how to help mm-hmm. the needy kids, any of that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of very, very, very practical stuff. And if you're a pastor who's searching for, you know, something in that type of ministry setting or tool or something like that, where you're really going to need to be able to do that, you can always reach out to us for help and we'll be able to give you a practical suggestion or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So moving into the second, this is the third one in your list, is the mindless church. And I just want to say, as a disclaimer for all of our listeners, we are not talking about a church full of crazy people or something like that. At least I'm hoping.
It could get there, but.
Yeah. We're not giving you a pass to have anybody in your church committed to a psych ward or something like that. I think you're referring more to churches that are all about the wow factor and the hype and the emotional experience. You kind of walk away feeling like you've been at a concert, maybe.
It's the entertainment value.
Right.
And the reason I picked mindless,
I like the word, and it fits with the
sometimes
ends.
When you alliterate, you have to, have to go out on a limb.
On a limb with the thesaurus there.
Maybe out on a limb on this. But the real deal is churches that are all about how much entertainment can we bring to draw.
Exactly.
We want to get the hip crowd in. We want the young couples in that are all about how, fashionable we are and all that. When you start doing all that, it literally becomes like entertainment on television, which is a mindless thing. Watching TV is a mindless deal.
Yep.
Exactly. You just sit there and flatten your brain out and take input in. I'm using the M word that way, the mindless word that way.
Yep.
But it's these are usually booming churches, by the way.
They're
very, very popular in the communities.
Yeah, very popular.
They end up being the big church that everybody thinks is the thing to go to. Mm-hmm. And we're popular by going to it.
Right.
And so it's in my day, it would be the hip church.
Yeah.
Say that, they're just being really hip. And
exactly.
And all the people on stage are
maybe groovy or something like that.
Groovy.
I'm not going to throw you under the bus with the wrong words.
Groovy would be good. but it would literally be people that are, and the only people that enter leadership at this church are people like that.
Exactly.
Fat, bald, chunky people like me don't get to go on stage to do anything, no matter how good I can teach or not teach.
Exactly.
Or lead worship or whatever. You just don't get to go.
Because you're not cool.
Yeah. Because I don't represent a hip crowd.
There's so many places we could go with this.
But it's dangerous,
Right.
It's so dangerous when a church gets caught up in that and they stop worrying about the life-saving gospel that they have.
They're not focused on the
word.
They
stop worrying about broken people, lost people, even though they may say it in their website really good at presentation.
Oh, yeah. They can knock the presentation out of the park. Yeah,
but what it reminds me of is, when you go to a restaurant and a really nice restaurant and they want you to have, you want to try desserts, what do you have?
Right.
And they bring around this tray of fake desserts.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's lard made up to look like a dessert, and you're like, oh, I'll take one of those. And you can't have the one off the tray because it ain't the dessert.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So
it's just for you to look at.
It reminds me of that. And it's sad to me because it's drawing a lot of people in. And some of those churches, now I believe there's some really good, hip, awesome churches that are doing a great job presenting the gospel.
This is not a blanket statement, so don't take this that way.
Today's all broad strokes.
Yeah.
So, but most of them, they end up very shallow in their doctrine.
Right.
They're very shallow in their teachings.
Right.
They're very shallow in discipleship. And they're all about how many numbers we can cram in.
How big can we make our room, and how many
campuses can we broadcast to, and all of that. And eventually, you lose the the real deal of what church is about.
Very much
church,
so.
Church
so,
is now just about attending and attendance.
So on that note, let me ask a very pointed question here that I thought of when I was reading through this particular section. You mentioned websites a second ago, and being the comms guy for Northside, for the church that we serve at together here in Mobile, one of the things that we mention on our website is cultural relevance. So let me ask, how do you balance cultural relevance, which should be a priority for the church, with what you're talking about, which is gospel integrity, theological inerrancy, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, so,
how do you balance the two? Because in all honesty, there's nothing wrong with some cultural relevance and connectedness.
Yeah, so cultural relevance means I, as the pastor at 60 years old,
right,
or our younger two pastors here, we are leaning into the culture to understand what their struggles are,
yes,
and how to be relevant in their needs with the scriptures and the gospel.
Without violating the scriptures.
We need to bring the gospel. Yep. We need to bring discipleship.
Exactly.
We need to bring joy, hope, and peace, the abundant life, into their needs base of their culture. But it doesn't mean that I need to wear skinny jeans on Sunday. That would be horrible.
Please, for the love of God.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that me,
nobody wants that.
Yeah, Mom and I would be very happy that you do not do that. Now, I mean, I also see this from the standpoint
or baggy
of,
pants, either one. Yeah,
you know, for certain churches, small churches like ours, integrating things like, say, modern technology, like, you know, screens in the sanctuary or coffee in the sanctuary or, that we are connecting with. And see, there's former generations that would see that as the church trying to be hip.
Right.
But we have gone.
Just trying to be relevant.
We have gone that way. So there's that blend of cultural relevance without compromising
gospel
integrity.
And I think there's a difference
integrity.
In hip and relevant.
Exactly. There's a huge difference.
Relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And people today love an atmosphere in a church where we can sip a good cup of coffee and have a nice donut or
a muffin, yeah,
and
whatever the case may be.
Yes, homemade muffins tomorrow for Northside, which you want to hear by the time you hear this, it'll be over.
Yeah, exactly.
But really, really be a comfortable setting for the people. And in doing that, I mean, even the big churches, you know, they put the really big churches, they'll put the coffee shop in the old
they've got their own Starbucks.
The muffins are out out in their lobbies, so
yeah, exactly.
But again, we're not trying to be hip by doing that. We're just being relevant. We're trying to connect with the people that come, the young families that come busting out of the door and didn't have time for their coffee, have breakfast.
And if the coffee and the donuts aren't there one Sunday morning, nobody's going to leave over it. So you don't want that.
Right.
So yeah, that all makes really good sense. Okay, so moving into the next one, which is our last one to wrap out with, and this is the church that you want to be, is the ministering church. So this is what it's all about. I would say it's interesting in terms of experience for us to discuss this. We can look back and you and I can remember when our church, when Northside was a museum church. We remember the days when we moved here.
Very much bordering on that.
Yeah, back in the early 2000s, way before we were a ministering church. So what are some of the defining
attributes? And it was actually moving toward a mausoleum.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beginning to die.
We were going to have to stop that.
And it had signs of death on it. So, and you know, all these 20 years later, we haven't changed the numbers very much, but we've changed the emphasis of the church.
We've become a ministering church now. Yeah. So what are some of the defining attributes?
Yeah. A ministering church is a church full of people that want to do the will of God as they understand it when they're taught.
Sure.
And so when we teach on the Great Commission or the Great Commandment, they're literally asking, when can we do that? How can we do that? A ministering church is a church that's the activities on the calendar aren't about the church. They're about the community.
Exactly.
They're about the gospel and the community. They're about reaching other people. You know, we're doing youth camps throughout the year now. We have a guy here very passionate about that. So he gets city kids and brings them up here on our really cool campus because we have a lot of fun stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And we just have a little camp for the weekend with them, you know, and that's a reach into the city kids and love on them, you know, and give them good role models and good scriptures and good fun for the weekend, keep them off the streets kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we've got several people very passionate about the homeless. And every time we have any leftover food from one of our weekly events that we feed people at. They want the leftovers to
go to the homeless,
go visit the homeless at the different places where they know they, you know, hang out in the woods and under the bridges and all. So,
yeah. So there's this understanding you mentioned, there's this understanding of how God's grace works, and we don't just understand it. We want to apply it to our lives and put it into action.
Yeah. It's really what Paul says.
The whole point.
Yeah. It's what Paul says all through the scriptures. You know, if you're in love with the grace of the cross and what Christ did for you, you will become a full-blown servant by love, serve one another, and go out and get something done on behalf of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You will not be about yourself anymore.
Right.
And so a ministering church is when the pastor has, at least at his core ministry team, people that are all about others and all about the kingdom of God values in others' lives.
That's right.
They're wanting to disciple. They're wanting to minister. They're wanting to, we want to have more small groups. And why do we want to do that? So we can say we have a lot of small groups? Nope. Because we're dying to get more people into a group setting where they can actually be ministered to
and grow,
get closer to God, work through their mess, work through their crisis or their sin life, confess all that, and get a life that's more purified and more holy and more passionate about reaching the lost
and
discipling. It repeats itself.
Yeah, and you've mentioned love for rather than a disdain for the community. I felt like, you know, making a note that it's a lot easier these days for there to be disdain for the world and the community with the way the world is looking right now.
Well, yeah, so you have to be really everything in our culture is dividing and subdividing.
Yeah, our culture is minor,
little bitty tribes.
Yeah, our culture is very tribalized.
And eventually it's going to be all the blue-eyed people sit over here and all the brown-eyed people over here. And if you have a green eyes, you're out, kind of deal.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, if you got one of each, you're just done.
Yeah, you're out. You're out.
But, you know, with all that division, the gospel is the uniter of all of that. The gospel solves everything.
Exactly.
You know, all this crazy crisis in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, and
the political turmoil.
Yeah. And all the upheaval there. What can help Afghanistan is not America, although America can do good there.
Sure.
Humanitarian help can do there.
Sure.
What they need is the gospel.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yep.
You know, what the deep-seated Islamic people of Islamic faith need is the gospel.
That's exactly right.
And even Jesus knew that. So
people
of Islamic faith got the gospel all through his ministry, all through the disciples' ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's a challenge, but it's really the only hope and the only help.
It really is.
So a healthy ministering church, our fourth M of but our fourth M,
the multi-Ms,
you know, it's people longing and aching to see the kingdom come alive.
Exactly.
See the kingdom values come alive in their own church. And so whether it's the one another's that we're going to practice together, whether it's the, I can't wait to go serve others today. I want to go help somebody move. That's, you know, a needy person. We've all decided we're just going to help move. We're going to cut this lady's grass who can't afford it, but she's in a wheelchair and she's had an accident. So we're all just going to go help that. Whatever that is, it's a church with people that are anxious to do that. Not just sitting there saying they're saved and safe and I don't care about anybody, but because I'm saved and because I'm safe with God, I have this peace with God now. I can't wait to go help somebody else.
Exactly.
And that's all I want to do is go help somebody else.
Yeah. And that should be a good marker for your church. It should be something that as a pastor, eyes should be peeled for it. And if it's not there, you should be encouraging it in your people.
Yeah. And maybe just a little note here to the pastors of churches like that. I think the thing you have to work with on that is you have to be flexible. You have to let people work in their ministry, let them work in their ministry gifts. And when a ministry that to the homeless or to the nursing home or whatever is struggling, you've got to manage it a little bit, but you also, if they need to fail at that a little bit and then start over, that's fine.
Yeah. Let it be a learning experience. Let's
learn and grow fix what we messed up and go again.
Yep, that's right.
You know, you can't get it perfect every time. And some of us as pastors love perfection so much, we don't want anybody to try anything.
Right.
And you got to let them get out there and try it.
Yeah.
So, and then the last thing I would just throw in is before you close out for us, Josh, is, you know, one of the things that all churches need to do in any of these categories is center their life around the cross. And
big time.
Every pastor at every one of these churches should be preaching the gospel
big time.
Of the cross of Christ and what Jesus did for us on the cross and what he paid for us and how much he loves us so that we know our sins are covered by grace and grace compels me to do the right thing for Christ now. to sure. live for Him, not for myself.
There's a reason we named our ministry after Galatians 6:14.
That's correct.
And if you don't know the verse, look it up.
Yep.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. We hope you found all the content and dialogue helpful and inspiring as always.
Share it with somebody.
Yes, please share it across social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at 614 Rebuild. I'm Josh, that's Stan, silent partner Mike. We will catch you guys next time.
You've been listening to Rescuing Churches, a discussion for the local church and its leaders. This show is brought to you by 614 Ministries. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 614 Rebuild and visit us online at 614ministries.org. Also, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Thanks for listening.